Pastor. Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free." Do people in Ireland think of Christianity as a faith of freedom? A friend once said to me, "I could never be a Christian. I'd have to give up too much." And that's a mindset I think we can all fall into. Christianity is about going to church. Christianity is about rule keeping. What you can do, what you can't do. But Paul here says it's a religion of freedom, not slavery. So what does he mean? And that's what we're going to think about today in Galatians 5. So I've got three questions we can ask the passage to understand this freedom we have in Christ. Question one, why does circumcision take away freedom? So in verse 1, Paul says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So in the church in Galatia, they're doing something which is going to lose their freedom. That will make them go into slavery. What could that be? Well, in the next few verses, verse 1 to 15, circumcision is mentioned 5 times. How does that practice relate to freedom or slavery? Remember, Paul was a Jew, would have been circumcised. Jesus Christ, born a Jew, would have been circumcised. Why does this common cultural practice take away freedom? In Galatians 5, verse 2, he says very strongly, "If you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you." Very strong language. And then in verse 12, he's talking about some in the church who are encouraging circumcision. And he says, "As for those agitators, I wish they'd go the whole way and emasculate themselves." In the Greek, that literally means to castrate. Imagine if that came up at the next members' meeting. Very, very strong language. So why is he so upset? It's even more confusing when we read that in some places, Paul encourages circumcision. Let me read Acts 16 and verse 3. "Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew his father was a Greek." So in some cases, Paul was circumcised. In others, he's finally against it. What's the difference? Well, I think it's clear it's not the act of circumcision itself. What is the meaning behind it? In Acts, Paul is going on a missionary journey. He wants to preach the gospel to unbelieving Jews. He wants to go into the synagogue and argue and present Christ clearly. To take Timothy with him from a Greek background, he needed to be circumcised to allow him entry to the synagogue, to allow him to preach the gospel. So in Acts, Paul is doing it for gospel reasons. To break down cultural barriers, to share the gospel with others, the good news. In Galatians, the reason must be different. In verse 4, we get a hint of this. Paul says, "You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." The Galatians, it seems, were seeking to justify themselves by this practice. They were believing, if I get circumcised, I'm good enough for God. But in saying that, they were saying that Christ's life, Christ's death, was not good enough to get them to heaven, was not good enough to please God. They were saying they had to add something more themselves. They had to do something to please God. In effect, they had an and religion. Yes, that's what Christ has done on the cross. There's forgiveness through Christ. But that's not enough. There's an and. I must do something myself to please God. And Paul says that they have fallen from grace because of that. What is grace? I like to think of it as G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. We have the blessings of God in this life and more fully in the life to come, not because of what we do, because of our expense, but because of what Christ has done on that cross. Christ's perfect life and obedience is credited to us as Christians. And all our sin is paid for by him on the cross. That is grace. It's about what God has done for us, not what we do for God. How does it relate to us? I don't think any of us are circumcised, but I won't ask. But are we tempted to have an and in our religion? If someone comes to you and says, what do I have to do to be a Christian? What would we answer? It's very easy to fall into the temptation to answer a list of things that Christians do. To be a Christian, you should attend church, maybe we'd say. Or you should read your Bible every day. Or you should pray every day. Or you should give money to charity, give money to the church. And if that's all we said, then at the end of it, they would think, wow, those people do a lot for their God. And if that's what they think, they've not heard the gospel. If they think more of us than God, then we've not shared our faith fully. Hopefully, if someone comes to you and says, what do you have to be a Christian? Our answer would be to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they say, well, what else? What do I have to actually do myself? Well, that's the heart of Christianity. You can do nothing yourself. We've all fallen short of God's perfect standard. But he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, to fulfill all the requirements of the law fully. And by just trusting in him, his perfect life is given to us. We have to do nothing to receive salvation except trust in him through faith alone. We are accepted by God because of what Christ has done for us, not because of what we try and do for him. And hopefully that person would then leave thinking that God has done a lot for them. And if that's how they think, then I think we've shared the gospel clearly. So our first question, why does circumcision take away freedom? Circumcision represents an and in our religion, where we rely not just on what Christ has done for us, but we start to rely on what we try and do for God. And that takes away freedom, that leads to slavery. We're constantly trying to do enough for him when it's all been done for us by our Lord Jesus. Second question. So what is this freedom we have in Christ? We talked about slavery. What freedom do we have? I asked a Muslim friend once, if you could ask God any question, what would it be? And they answered that they would say, have I done enough to get to heaven? And they explained to me that their faith was like a balance of the good you do, the bad you do, and you're just kind of hoping that the good's enough to get you there. And in many ways, I think that's the faith of many, many people in Ireland. Oh, I've not done too badly. I do this, I do that. And it's a faith of hoping for the best. I hope God will accept me because of what I've done. And that's a faith of slavery. Never knowing, have you done enough? Never knowing if God is pleased with you. Trusting in yourself alone to try and do enough for him. The freedom we have in Christ is this. We have the freedom that we are not required to obey the law, yet God still accepts us. In verse 4, Paul says, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. What Paul is saying, that those who accept an and religion, except they must do something themselves to please God. They have to please God entirely, do everything in the perfect law, in mind, in heart, in action, to perfectly love the Lord God with all your heart and might, to perfectly love your neighbor as yourself every minute, every second, every day. And that's a burden that no one can carry out. For us, as we trust in what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, we can be free to know that although we do sin, although we fall short in so many ways, God should accept us. Because we have a freedom that we're not required to obey the law in every perfect way. Because Christ has done that. Just by faith, God accepts us. God is pleased with us. So the question two was, what is this freedom Christ gives us? And it's the freedom we have it's that we do not have to obey God's law to be accepted by God. We are accepted by God based on what Christ has done, not on what we try and do. And so our third question. So how will a Christian use their freedom? So if you say we're free not to obey the law, that is what Christ has done, then does that mean that we can live how we like? Galatians 5, verse 19-21 reads, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." It seems Paul is saying that those who live to a life of sin will not be in God's kingdom. Is this a contradiction? On one hand, we're free not to obey the law. It's all about what Christ has done. But then in the next few verses, Paul says, if you live a life of sin, you cannot be in God's kingdom. How do you understand these two truths together? The key is that as Christians, we are not just forgiven, but we're also changed. In Ephesians 1, verse 13, we read, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." If you are a Christian here today, you have God's Spirit within you. And God's Spirit produces conflict with the sinful nature. In verses 16 and 18, we read, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another. So you do not do whatever you want. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." Evidence that you have become a Christian today and are free from being required to obey the law is that you have received God's Holy Spirit. Evidence that you've received God's Holy Spirit is that your desires will begin to change so that you want to obey God's law. That is the fruit of the Spirit. To help understand this, I want to think of a story of a man who hires a maid. The man hires a maid and writes out a contract for her. The contract states exactly what she must do. "You must cook me my food, wash clothes, clean the house." And the man sticks on the wall of the house the contract. And the man says, "If you obey this contract fully, your wages will be paid. If you fail, then you'll be fired." So that's the law she's given. And the maid's afraid, she needs her job, so she follows it. She obeys all the little details. As time moves on, the man and the maid fall in love and they get married. The man tears down the contract from the wall and in its place puts a marriage certificate. The man says to his now wife, "All that I have is yours. I promise whatever happens, I'll never leave you or forsake you." The next morning, the man wakes up and his wife has cooked him breakfast. And the man's frustrated. He says, "Why have you done this? The law is gone. I've teared down your contract. You don't have to make breakfast anymore." And the wife replies, "I know I don't have to. I know you won't fire me. But I do it because we have a relationship. Because I want to." In the same way, in Christ we are free. We're not bound by the law. It's all paid for on that cross. But we're more than forgiven. We have a relationship with our Father. We have his Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So that actually, though never perfectly, our hearts desire to please him, desire to obey the law that we can never obey. I think freedom is to do whatever you desire. And with his spirit within us, our desire becomes more and more to obey him. So, our three questions, what were they? Question one, why does circumcision take away freedom? Circumcision represents Christ and religion. A religion where we try and add to the work of God. And it's a life of slavery, trying to do enough to reach some standard we can never reach. Question two, what is this freedom we have in Christ? It is the freedom that we are not required to obey God's law. It is the freedom that a sinner can be accepted by God, not because of what he's done, but because of what Christ has done. Anyone here, no matter what has happened in your life, can receive total forgiveness at the cross. Can be totally accepted by God. But it's not about the life we live. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life on earth and gave himself up on the cross. His perfect life is given to us as Christians. And all of our sin, all of our wrongdoing, no matter how bad it is, Christ fully pays for on the cross in our place. The great substitution we have. Our third question. So how then as a Christian will we use our freedom? A Christian will use their freedom to seek to please God. No one will reach perfection in this life, but with his spirit within us, transforming us, our desires more and more will change to follow him. Let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your Son, that his perfect obedience can be given to us through simple faith in you. We thank you that we are not bound to the law of always wondering if we've done enough to please you, Lord, that you fully accept us because of what your Son has done. We pray you would help us to live in the light of this truth and this gospel, and would be able to tell others about you and all that you offer through your Son. In Jesus' name.